is a delight to His people. None like Him. In heaven above, on the earth below. Do you love Him? Yes. Could you find 2 Thessalonians? Our text today will be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 through chapter 3 verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 through chapter 3 verse 5. If you're able to stand, just a minute or two as I read these verses in your hearing, would you do that? God has graced us to have His Word, and we thank Him. Trust today that we will also want to listen and obey. Verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Amen. Father, help us now as we bow together and look to you to understand what you're saying to us. Help us to make a right application in our own lives. And then, Lord, as we have prayed here today, help us to obey that we might bring glory to you and benefit ourselves in this life. For Jesus' name, for His sake we pray. Amen. Our subject for today is eschatology compels us to pray. Eschatology compels us to pray. You may remember that last week we considered the man of lawlessness as he is described in the first 12 verses of chapter 2. We looked at the description of this man and found out that he is a false Messiah who claims to be God. He will have a satanic power to perform supernatural works and signs that are designed to deceive and seduce unbelievers to trust him. These satanic works are designed to lure unbelievers to trust him and to their own destruction. But we also saw in these verses that his doom is sure. Jesus will utterly destroy him with the word of his mouth when he returns. And he will utterly destroy all that have trusted in this false Messiah. Now, do you remember that eschatology is the study of the last things or the last events associated with the return of Christ. These events that are going to be taking place when Jesus returns. Eschatology, because of that, eschatology has and remains today been contaminated with error and teaching and speculation. And so, because so much error is associated with eschatology and the study of these last things, the Bible says to you and me as Christians, we have to be discerning. You cannot be gullible and believe everything. And Paul even says, even when the sources appear to be credible, you have to test and examine everything and everybody by the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the sole standard and the basis by which everything must be examined. And I'll say this likewise. Because I know that many of us have had some real bad experiences in dealing with this area of eschatology. Don't be fearful of studying the things of the future. God has told us the truth. Why did He tell us the truth? Because what you believe about the future, what did we say? Affects how you live when? Now. We must understand the fundamentals about the future because, and we'll see this next week, it affects how you live today. So don't think this is an insignificant matter. Do you believe that if it was insignificant, God would have wasted words telling us? If it were not important, would He have told us? Would He have taken precious space and time to have this recorded and left for us? The answer is, no, He would not. Because God has left us the truth about the things of the future, they are important. So not only must we be discerning and test everything by the Scriptures, but we must diligently pray in faith and in the power of the Spirit. Did you hear me? It's not a matter of intellect and simply applying your mind and your learning. Men and women have erred so far by simply applying their mind and their intellect to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are living and active. You need God's power. You need His Spirit to understand. So we must approach the Word of God in prayer and in the power of the Spirit. And that's our subject for today. You and I need prayer. Prayer when it comes to these matters of the future. Prayer when it comes to how we're going to live out these truths. It's not, as we saw earlier with the Sermon on the Mount, you have not arrived just because you understand. You've not arrived simply because you've heard and you understand. You must obey. You must order your life according to the truth. We need power, power from the Spirit. So I want to talk about two things today. And we'll be done. All right? Two things. The first one is this. You should pray for other Christians. No disagreement there, right? The second thing is that you should ask other Christians to pray for you. No, there's no argument there, is it? That's exactly what this text teaches. I kind of wrap my thoughts around those two statements. And so right away, You don't have to get ruffled up, get on the defensive. We're going to be talking about truths that we all have embraced. So let's begin. You should pray for other Christians. I see that in verses 13 and 14. Paul says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits. And by the way, some of your versions might have chose you in the beginning. And that's because some of the original texts have that phrase. But don't get tangled up by that. The fact is, God chose you. All right? Because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God for other Christian salvation. Give thanks for salvation. In your prayer time, thank God for saving you. In your prayer time, don't take it for granted that you can see and understand the Word of God. Don't take it for granted that do you remember when the Word of God was just a waste of time? You couldn't wait to get done with it? Do you remember the times you couldn't wait to get out and get back to play or do whatever? Don't you remember those times? Don't you remember the times when you, for some of us, when you finally didn't have to go, you didn't go to church? Don't you remember the times when you loved that which was evil and wicked? And don't take it for granted. Oh, it's a tremendous blessing to be saved. So thank God for salvation in your prayer time. Thank Him that He didn't leave you. All of us know people that are left behind. And I'm not talking about, what's this man? I ain't talking about this speculative series. What's the, who is it, the Left Behind series? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for real left behind. People that got passed over. Think of it. Now, I'm an only child, but some of you all have siblings that got passed over. That's grace. God passed over others to get you. That's tremendous. And as we learned in growth group Friday night, there are times that God may even skip a generation. He might not save your parents, but still save you. This is tremendous. Tremendous. Thank God for salvation. God is the author of salvation. God alone saves. I'm thankful for the people that were instrumental in my salvation, but ultimately, God is to be thanked. God is to be thanked. Paul is reminding these believers of how and why they have a new life. He's reminding them of how and why their new life began. And that's all I'm saying to you. You need to remember how it all began for you. You need to remember at times what happened. Why did it happen? And don't give yourself any credit. Don't pat yourself on the back. You know as well as I do, you didn't have anything to do with it. That's right. Because until God gave you the desire, you kept doing what you were doing. Isn't that true? And the Bible said we loved it. We loved darkness. We loved it. We were the Bible said we were slaves. So God had to come into the slave camp and say, I want that one and this one and that one. They're mine. Isn't he good? Yes, he is. reminding them of how and why their new life began. He's reminding them why they are different from the unbelievers that will be deceived and seduced by the false Messiah. And I'm reminding you today, you need to be thankful that you have been saved so that you will not be seduced and deceived by, we don't know when these strong delusions and this great deception is coming about. But if it's in our day and time, thank God you will be safe in the Beloved. Reminding them why they are different from these unbelievers. Why is it? He uses two words that I just want to remind you of. The main reason is that you've been chosen. He said, it is because God chose you. You see that in verse 13? Why are you different? How and why did it come about? Because God chose you. Don't let people talk you out of that terminology. Don't cower away from people who believe in decisionism don't you realize how much glory you're trying to rob from God by giving credit to yourself? No! God chose me. Thank God for that. I never would have chosen him if he didn't choose me first. I never would have decided. If you want to use decision, you couldn't decide for him unless he decided for you first. So we are not opposed to decision. The question is who decided first. That's the point. Is that right? So when it's all said and done, it all starts with God. That's Paul's point. Now you need to stay with me because this is important. So he reminds them that it's because God chose them. And the power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel being preached, call them. It called them. Ooh, do you remember? Hawkins says something inside me. You can use those vague terms if you want to. But when God saved you, the Holy Spirit was at work in you. And how can I say, I can't hold my peace? You couldn't. Don't you remember? You had to respond. Because this thing that's calling me is not like my mama. I didn't always go when my mama called me. Did you? Or my dad. I mean, I regretted it, but I didn't always go. But oh, when this call works inside me, can't fight it. It's too powerful. My Maker is calling me. And he knows how to get my attention. The one who made me knows exactly what it takes to silence all of the things around me. And so that all that I hear is the powerful call of the gospel. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Do you remember that? Power from within calling you to the new life. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And Paul says, every Christian is a brother beloved by the Lord. You see that in verse 13? So thank God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord. Every Christian, do y'all hear me? Every young Christian is a brother, sister, beloved by the Lord. Every older Christian is a brother, sister, beloved by the Lord. Every rich Christian is a brother, sister, beloved by the Lord. Every poor Christian Right? Every educated Christian. Every uneducated Christian. Every Christian that has full mobility. Every Christian that has physical limitations. Christians that can talk. Christians that cannot talk. Every Christian is a brother, sister, beloved by the Lord. And if God loves them, what's the conclusion? We certainly ought to. Amen? Now don't just nod on that. Think about it. If a Christian is beloved and precious to God, they ought to be precious to us. If Jesus gave his life, it's the same life. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for them. The same grace that saved you saved them. The same call, the same power that saved you is the call and the power applied to their life. Amen, Christians?
Amen.
All right, New Hope, we need to live like that. But you won't live like it unless you pray like that. I've mentioned this before. We are not going to change with each other until we start praying for each other. But first of all, thank God for salvation. When we face trouble and confusion, we must remember that our new life began only because of God. And He will be faithful to the end. That's the reason I told you it was important to realize that it begins with God. If you can lay hold of that, God began it. And how did Paul say it in Philippians 1? I'm confident of this. He who began this good work in you will what? Perfect it. He'll complete it. The day of Christ. He won't fail. That's the reason you want to make sure that it began with God. That's Paul's point. You're in trouble now. Your life has got confusion and difficulty. But remember, God started this new life. He's not going to fail you in the middle of it. So thank God for salvation. And then pray for perseverance and comfort. I see that in verses 15 through 17. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Listen, Paul has already reminded these believers about their past conversion. And he's reminded them about their glorious future in the Lord. Now, if you have a biblical understanding about your past and a biblical understanding about your future, then you'll know today I need to stay with the Bible. If the Bible helps me understand my past and the Bible helps me understand my future, if I'm going to understand what's happening today, I need to stay with what? The Bible. That's Paul's point. Hold to the tradition. Don't give way now just because it's difficult. The Bible will help you understand what you're going through. There are times, some of you all have done the Psalms reading, the plan that I started years ago, and some of you started it along with me, where you'll read the Psalm for today. You know, like today is the 13th. You read Psalm 13, and then you add 30 to it, Psalm 43, and right, add 30, 73. It is amazing how applicable some of those psalms are to the situations that you're going through. Have you found that? Providence just has a way of speaking. God's word helps you handle your situation. Stay with the word of God. That's Paul's point. Don't waver now. God brought you this far. Trusting Him brought you this far. Don't give up. Don't give way now. Stay with the Scriptures. Hold to them. Hold to God. Because God has been faithful in the past for you personally, He will not fail you. He will not forsake you in the future. That's the reason Paul said this is comfort for your heart. There are times that my situation does not change, but God brings peace. You ever had that? And that's the Christian's life. You draw near to God. He's a God of all comfort. Yeah, He is. And so He says, God will bring you comfort. He'll comfort your heart because He's faithful. And those of you who've walked with God sometime, you know that He's faithful. Don't forget what He's done for you in the past. There are times you need to remember that. When you're facing challenges in the future, take time and remember what God has done in the past. He's faithful. His promises have not changed. There's no need to worry, no need to be anxious or fear, because God has predestined the believer to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that in them? Look at verse 14. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's plan. He has predestined that for us. And my brother, my sister, don't let the troubles of life cloud that up. Listen to the way Paul told the Romans in Romans 8. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, so that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Suffering does not mean that the glory has been tainted. God still has glory ahead. Suffering can't change that. All right? That's the reason He can go on to say, and we know that those who love God, He causes all things to work together for good. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen at Him. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also what? Glorified. It's unbroken. God is bringing us to glory. The glory is going to be wonderful. God has predestined it. It's going to happen. So Paul says, I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That's his point. Bring these matters to prayer. Bring them to prayer. Pray and ask God for perseverance. Ask Him for comfort. Don't just ask God to change things. That's typically our prayer. Guilty. Don't make that your first request. You need to know the mind of God. You won't find that by always pleading for God to change things. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that pleading, right? Well, Paul pleaded, right? He made a plea, but did God answer him? God will answer you even when you're praying for change. You need to hear Him. Because some things He does not plan to change, but He does plan for you to persevere and have comfort. Amen? We must pray. So first of all, we should pray for other Christians. And so when you pray for them, be careful that your first request is not for ease. I mean, we're talking about the voice of the martyrs, and there's some awful, awful, awful things that are happening to our brothers and sisters who are beloved in the Lord, right? There are some awful things happening to those. Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them. And they are being treated like animals many places around this globe. But it's not always our duty to pray for change, for ease. You need to seek God's mind about... See, here's the thing. You don't always know how to pray for people. Is that true? God has to teach you what to pray and how to pray. So you should pray for other Christians. And then lastly, you should ask other Christians to pray for you. Pray for the success of the gospel. Look at verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Pray for the success of the gospel. Now, after Paul reassures these believers, now you stay with me. Paul now asks these persecuted, afflicted, confused, weak, new believers to pray for him. They're still the same people, right? Persecuted, afflicted, confused, weak, and they're new. The great apostle asked these people to what? Pray for him. It wasn't beneath him. He didn't go to the prayer giants. He didn't go to the folks that was getting results. Can we learn from the Word of God? I think we can. He asked these believers to pray for him and the success of the gospel. Some of the most effective and powerful prayers are from believers who are suffering severely in this life. You all have heard us say many, many times, the ones that we are praying for in these difficult situations around the globe, did you know they're praying for us? They are praying for us. If you are involved in gospel ministry, you should not hesitate to ask other believers to pray for you regardless of the troubles in their lives, regardless of the sufferings in their lives. Don't hesitate to ask people to pray for you. Aren't you humbled at times when you go to help someone? You go to help them and they want to pray for you. Don't be like Peter and reject that. You see, there's a temptation to reject their prayer for you because you're there to help them. Don't do that, my brother, my sister. As a matter of fact, implore them to pray for you. This is what I thought about. The reason is this. Success is not automatic. Success in the gospel ministry is not automatic. And you know what? People who are suffering understand the need for prayer. That's the reason you want them to pray for you. You understand what I'm saying? These people know they need to meet with God. They know that God is their only help. And they know that God is your only help. Sometimes they know it better than you. Don't hesitate to ask people to pray for you regardless of the situation they're going through. So pray for the success of the gospel. Next, pray for protection and deliverance. I see that in verse 2. That we may be delivered from the wicked, from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. Evil and wicked people oppose the gospel ministry. They oppose the success of the gospel. They plan to harm Paul, and in many cases, you know they did. People severely inflicted pain upon Paul. He cataloged some of the awful difficulty that he had in gospel ministry. And they also planned harm for other gospel messengers. But here's the point. God is faithful to protect his people in gospel ministry. Do you believe that? But he expects us to pray and ask for protection and deliverance. God is faithful to take care of us, but he expects us to ask him. God is faithful to feed us, but he expects us to ask him. Not only does he expect us to ask him, he also expects us to thank him. We must not presume that we will be safe and protected. Simply because you're on God's business, don't presume that you're going to carry that out without difficulty, incident, or even harm. When you read the life, there were times, you know as well as I do, people tried to kill Paul. And there were times they thought he was dead. They thought they had done it. That attitude has not changed. People in other parts of the world know that very clearly. That attitude has not changed. Do not presume that you'll be safe and protected because you're in gospel ministry. Following Jesus means that we are opposed and hated. It may be subtle and restrained right now, but do you believe that it could break out in violence at any time? You tell me. What keeps evil? Do you believe there are evil and wicked people in the United States that hate Christians? So what keeps it from breaking out? It's only God. God is restraining them. Common grace is operative. Don't take that for granted. It could break out on you at any time. On God's business. Ask others to pray for your protection and deliverance. 1 John 3, I believe it is, John says, brothers, do not be surprised that the world hates you. Don't be surprised at that. Jesus already warned us, didn't he? If they hated me, they will hate you. Therefore, we need prayer. Then lastly, Paul says to pray in faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Paul encouraged them to pray in faith. He encouraged them to pray in confidence that God would not fail them. Pray in confidence that God would not fail to carry out his will for these beloved brothers and sisters. God will assuredly establish and protect them. He will assuredly grant them grace to love, obey God, and persevere through it all. And you know as well as I do, nothing and no one is able to prevent God from carrying out his will and his plan for his people. Is that true? In the words of the psalmist, God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Do you believe that? God is in his heaven, and he's doing whatever he desires. I love, there's a wonderful passage. It's in Daniel. Let's see, Daniel 4:35. Listen at this. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. and no one can stay his hand. Right? No one can stop. No one. And then he says, or say to him, what have you done? No one can go to God and say, stop. What are you doing? Nobody can call God on the carpet. Job tried to do that. Did he get in a mess and a pickle? And that's God's child. Imagine. You saw what happened to people who try to take God's glory. One got eaten up with worms from the inside. You don't play with God and His glory. I remember, digress here a minute. I remember watching an award show once, and this gross, irreverent Bernie Mac stood up and said, all these people standing up here thanking God, if God's up there, why don't He strike me dead? He started doing this crazy stuff. I'm going to tell you, when God breaks out, God's going to break out soon. And all this irreverence and blasphemy, it's going to be awful. Don't you be found taking on any posture like that. As a child of God, I don't expect you to, but be very careful to honor God. God's not a plaything. He does whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. And when we pray for each other and ask others to pray for us, be careful that you're asking them to pray for God's will, not your will, not to fix it the way you want it. Don't try to plant things in people's mind for them to pray for. Let them pray in faith and according to the Word of God and the will of God. Isn't that what we want? Don't try to dictate to God. Nobody can stop Him. He's going to do His will. And His will is for our good. For our good. Do you believe it? It's for our good. You know, God made promises to Moses and Israel. Remember that in the Old Testament? God even told Moses His plans for Israel's future. Right? Yet Moses still had to pray, didn't he? Even though God had told him what the future holds, told him what he was going to do, Moses still had to pray. He had to seek God for wisdom. He had to seek God for help. He had to seek God for protection. He had to seek God for provision. He had to seek God for deliverance. All along the way of life, because even though God made promises and He knew the future, life was filled with difficulties, trials, and tests. Likewise, for you and me, knowing God's future plans for us and having His promises does not mean we pray less. Just because we have a completed Bible, and many of us have several Bibles, and many of us have memorized many things about this Bible, that does not mean that you pray less. Many, you may understand eschatology and many things about the future. That does not mean you pray less. It does not mean you live presumptuously. But rather we pray more. Oh my, if you know the future, that's my point. It compels you to pray. If you know what's coming, you need to pray. You want grace to be able to hold up, to be able to stay faithful. Don't you want to stay faithful? You need grace. You need power. You need the Spirit. You need to pray more, because our lives are filled with difficulties too. Amen? Our lives are filled with tests and troubles. Even though we have the promises of God and we know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. But along the way, we need to pray. Oh, my brother, my sister, but we have the victory, don't we? We have the victory through prayer. We have the victory through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory through the love of God our Father. Victory through the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. God will not fail us. None of His glorious promises to us will ever fail. He cannot lie. And God would never bring shame to His own name or His testimony. The same was true with Israel. He did not deliver Israel from Egypt for his promises to fail, even though Israel was disobedient. God was still true to his promise. He's faithful. God is faithful. But we must pray to him. We must seek him. Seek his wisdom. Seek his help. Seek his protection. Seek his provision. We must seek his guidance. Seek God's strength. Seek God's love and God's grace. Seek God for deliverance when we know we're in danger. In times of trouble and confusion, call upon the Lord. Call upon him in faith. Call upon him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray at all times. Pray all kinds of prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for other Christians. Ask other Christians to pray for you. Never lose heart. Never give up. Never give up. Never stop. Keep praying. God will answer you. God knows the glorious plans that he has for you, for your good, the plans for your future and hope. But you must pray. And if you're not a Christian, you've got to pray too. If you're not a Christian, you must call upon the Lord for yourself. If you're not a Christian, you must call upon him to save you. If you're not a Christian, you must call upon him to forgive your sins. If you're not a Christian, you must call upon the Lord to take away the guilt and the shame of sin. If you're not a Christian, call upon him to give you hope and a glorious future, to make heaven your own, to make you his own child. Do it today. Do it right now. Call upon him. You must pray too. And you know what else I thought about? If you're not a member of a church, or if you're considering joining a church, you got to pray too. Everybody's got to pray. You need to pray and ask God. This may be the place God wants you to be, but you need to pray and ask him. I don't know. And probably you don't know. But you know what? He does. Ask him. He'll let you know. Want it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Father, thank you for another day that we could be together in your presence and find the joy of the Lord that encourages our heart. Lord, we thank you for your precious promises and the truth that you've given us, that we might know the future and not be deceived, anxious or worried about what is to come. But then, Lord, we confess that we find ourselves falling short in our prayer lives. We don't pray as we should. We don't ask others to pray for us as we should. We don't pray for others as we should. And so, Lord, would you forgive us today? Grant us true repentance and greater grace to go on and live out this life of prayer and faithfulness to you, and enable us, Lord, to, with confidence and faith, face the future, knowing that we can persevere and that you will comfort us in our troubles, in our difficulties, in our tests of life. We thank you, Lord, that we are not left here alone. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. You promise that you are working in our situation. You're working in all of our circumstances. You're actually working it together for our good. And so, Lord, we're going to trust you today to finish the work that you began. Would you have mercy on the one that does not know you? And pray that you would, by the power of the gospel, call someone to yourself. Call them to see their great need for Jesus. Call them to see and to hear the power and to feel the power of the gospel calling them out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. And then, Lord, we carefully give you all the thanks. If you're adding someone to our church, a member, would you work that out? Would you make it plain and clear if someone is to join here? We know you're able to complete the plan that you started. And we have confidence, Lord, that you're not done with us here at New Hope. So may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this we pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.